Hello, everybody, and welcome to Spitballing with JT. This is episode one of my podcast, and I hope you join me for many, many more. Here we go, JT and G-Vine. Welcome to T-Dot Real Talk with Jordan, and today's artist profile is G-Vine, one and only producer extraordinaire, chef, also artist. You know him from
his credits off of the LA Complex, where his song was featured, Sex and Weed. And you also know some of his other artists, which might have been featured on the Jersey Shore, such as Yoza Malone, whose song Ride On was featured on the Jersey Shore's last season, the fifth season. So let's get this interview started, and let's see how this goes. So, at the top of things, what did you think of the latest thing with the whole Occupy Toronto movement that was all over the place?
Because what I think about it?
Yeah. In general, just slightly.
I mean, the times are changing, that's definitely.
You can feel it.
Social media, Facebook, Twitter, all of that stuff. You know, people are now able to organize themselves and, how would I say it, and, you know, lash out against the government. I mean,
lash out in big ways, too.
In big ways, like numbers, turning up big crowds, you know what I mean, disturbing the peace. That's what they're doing, right?
But is this the only way you think they can get their views across? It seems like it is, because big shots don't really listen to little people.
I know, but I mean that's one way.
That's one way.
There's many ways, but that's one way, and that's how the youth of today tend to take it. You know, I mean, we see it all over the world. You see it in Saudi Arabia. You see it in.
Syria right now, homes.
Yeah.
Where they're brutally, brutally slaughtering their own people.
Oh, yeah.
Their own people. And you would think that your soldiers and your military is there to protect you. And when they show up with machine guns and shoot you down, it's kind of a mean hello, goodbye type of a situation. Over time, you think more citizens should become involved in this type of protesting, or do you think the citizens would be afraid to voice their opinions due to the repercussions of it?
No, I mean, people are not afraid to voice their opinion. Not in today's time.
Not with Twitter and Facebook and all of social media.
I mean, people have realized that, you know, the governments are not what they say they are.
No, they are not.
And governments are run by corporations.
You know, they'll still like that.
And
people have had enough. And they just want a revolution.
Corporations are people now, though. Corporations are people in the United States of America. Even though we're in Canada, we're broadcasting from Canada. In the United States, a corporation is a person, and cash equals the right to free speech. And when you have that kind of a system, nobody... No one of us, take me or you or anybody, for example, is never going to have as much money as GE or ExxonMobil. That's just, they're billion-dollar gas companies and energy companies.
You can get up there unless you're willing to, you know, sell your heart and your mind and your soul.
And your morals.
And your morals. You can get as high as you want to go because everything is a pyramid, right? We all know that, you know what I mean?
All right, let's move on to some of the things that you personally have done in your life. We know that you've done some work with Shock Clare, and he's a big Toronto artist. Mm-hmm. He was huge, huge. He reached a huge status in the 90s and the early 2000s, and he's trying to make a comeback right now. What do you think about his success in the business?
I mean, he's got great respect.
I think he's one man that he's by far one of my greatest.
I don't know about, like, internationally, you know, but for sure, in Canada, he's got a lot of respect. So, you know, from that, you know, he did put this work in when he first came out.
Oh, yes, he did.
He did do some damage, but, you know, times are changing. People want to hear new stuff, new records, so.
And that's what you are all about, is doing new records. And,
new records, change the time.
Is there any whispers of a little bit of cosmic union with Shock Clare?
Can you rephrase that again?
Is there any rumors that we can...
Rumors? Well,
that we can either start or expel.
I got one thing to say, that Shockler is back, whether you like it or not, for all you motherfucking haters out there. The Chiznaka is back to reclaim the title for Toronto. Big up, Drake. You know we got your back. You shot me out a couple years ago before you got big, but you're going to hear some crazy stuff. Yeah, Chiznaka's back, man. I mean, people love and respect Shockler, so.
What do you think about Drake's success?
It's amazing.
Isn't it phenomenal off of a mixtape? Some one man, let alone. Just
well, Drake is a hard worker, man. I remember meeting him in 2008 at a Shockler video shoot, and I had a chance to interview him for at least 10 minutes. And little did I know that he was going to grow up to be such a successful artist. And I love that, you know what I mean? He's a hard worker, he deserves it. And,
definitely.
You know, I wish him all the best, man. You know, G-Va, Drake. Yeah, you'll see that interview soon. I haven't released it yet, but very soon you'll see it.
For those who are unfamiliar with him, can you give a history of an artist that goes by the name Oli, O-L-I? We know from interviews that we have on file that you two managed to link up in, I believe it was 06.
No, I think it was earlier than that.
Okay, so it was earlier than 06.
I think in,
But it's been
2004, 2005.
We can say it's been fate ever since with you two. You've been nonstop production monsters, enough content to fill a record store just between the two of them both. Believe me, I've seen the audio files. I can vouch for it. So let me get some. What sets Oli apart from other artists in today's industry?
What sets him apart?
Yeah.
Well, number one, his voice. He's a kid who's got an amazing voice that compels, that reach over mountains. And you know, you'll never think such a little skinny white kid with a voice like that, right? So.
You never know.
That's the first thing you hear, man. When you hear that voice, it's branded. Like, you know. You just know.
And the scary thing is not a lot of people know. He's had this style, this voice, since he was like 12, 13 years old when he used to freestyle about me back when we used to hang out to smoke trees in Jenny O'Brien's basement. Shout out to Jenny O'Brien. You might not be watching, but you will be soon. But, now, as of plans, what are the plans for Oli's career in 2012? What do you got planned for him?
Well, we got a crazy mixtape album coming out, and I think...
Everybody knows they can get Demon Swag right now on bandcamp.com.
You can check it out on YouTube. Demon Swag, Oli Demon Swag, PHS.
YouTube it, because if you YouTube it, all the tracks are on YouTube. One track is missing on the Bandcamp download due to unforsaken events that shall not be mentioned right now. But what can we go on? How long have you personally been in the industry, and then how long has Oli been in the industry now?
In the industry.
Music industry. Because you're in a lot of industries.
I know.
Well, music,
I mean, I was born with it, man. Like, you know. So I feel like I was born in the industry.
I think a lot of feel like that when we're surrounded by it, and I think it's a good thing that to have that positive outlook on how the industry is it is, and you can only take it for what it is. There's no point in making it look pretty and nice, because the industry is a bitch.
It is. And you got to put in dues, and that's what I'm doing now, is I'm starting my dues by helping promote you guys socially through Twitter, Facebook, and all of the other social media sites, even Google Plus, I hate to say it. But, alright, so let's get on with the show. Out of the many albums he's made, what's your favorite Oli song, first off, and why? And then his favorite album that you have stashed.
I think the track that I love the most is Turn It Up.
Turn It Up.
Turn It Up. My name is Oli, y'all don't know me. But after this shit, none of you will know me.
That is
I think that one is just brands, you know what I mean? I love War off the Demon Swag album.
War.
Check out Demon
is...
Swag. Pick up the CC co-producer, TQ. Yeah, PHS. War, I like War. I like Sedated.
Sedated is dope. Song. And
but you know how I am, you know. I make a record and I'm on to the next. You know, because we move so fast. We're cosmic, man. You know, we're always thinking of great ideas and doing different things, right? So I'm looking out for holy shit.
Oh yeah, man. This is
holy shit.
This is honestly
holy shit.
Holy shit, 2012 is gonna be the Grammys coming this year. So
dope ass track. Look out for Mag T.
I got a little question here for you from a fan. 16-year-old boy and a 40-year-old man download Oli's album from two different walks of life. What can they take away as a message from his song? That's a good question.
I mean, heart and soul, passion.
Yeah, that's a good question. These fans come up with great questions.
Heart and soul. I mean, when you hear him spitting those rhymes, you know it's coming from the heart, from passion. And to be great at anything that you do, you gotta have passion. So that's what I feel that they'll take away or learn.
In terms of being a role model, is there any special message that you try to promote in young minds today? Anything?
Oh yeah, man. I mean, number one thing is to be positive.
Always stay positive.
Positive and be who you are, because you got a lot of young kids out there running around and acting like a fool and not being themselves. So, I mean, you got to be who you are, straight up. You know? Positive and be who you are.
All right. So, do you feel that gangster rap is responsible for many of these problems in the at-risk community? And I use at-risk in quotations there because
some
at-risk is a wide variety. Before, it used to be just the black community, but it's not the black community anymore.
It's everywhere.
It's the black community, the Latino community, the white community in the South are just as violent. Just as violent, the teens.
But music,
it's crazy.
You gotta understand that, you know. Like for me, like when I make music, it's for a positive reason.
Yeah, so there's nothing negative that comes out of...
Some of the artists, it's maybe it's their influence, like how they were raised or the area that they live in, and that's all they know.
And do you think
you know what I mean?
Do you think some of the bigger artists promote an image that isn't even necessarily their image? They just know that image sells, so they just go...
Sure, many artists do that. I'm not going to name any.
No, I wouldn't expect you to name names.
No, but
we don't want
any artists does,
you know?
Does that, you know, do that. Many artists do that, for sure.
It's sad when in today's day and age, with the access to information, that people take away such little things like somebody talking about shooting somebody in a song instead of taking away the lyrics of that song and putting just the beat on the spot. Instead of putting the lyrics on the spot, put the beat on the pedestal. You know what I'm saying? Like, instead of the lyrics being what it's about, it being about the violence, the gangsterism, the money, the bitches, the hoes, all that nonsense that people rap about and whatnot, and just have it for the music, the beat. Just have love for the music. Like, there's Kid Cudi. He does that. He's just about, if somebody tells him they don't like the way that sounds, well, they can go fuck themselves. He's gonna use that sound even more just because they don't like it.
I mean, nowadays with the internet and everything, it's freedom of creation. Everybody's just doing what's cool, what's hip, how they can get hits, you know, just using whatever they can use to be noticed. And at the end of the day, if you're straight up being positive and being true, then your work will last forever. If you're just in for the quick haul, the quick dollar, then hey, you know. So
people like that in this business do not last, and they never have lasted. And it's sad to see somebody like Oli who literally bleeds this. I've seen this man bleed hip hop.
Yeah,
and he is a white boy from Toronto who lives in the suburbs. When you bleed that much of something, you eventually become what that something is. And there's
because you put the time and everything into it.
He's literally been doing it for a decade.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I think about it, it's been about a decade of him rapping, rhyming, and continuing on his path. What are some of your other artists that you want to talk about tonight? Because we're going to be profiling a whole bunch of artists out of THS until the podcast takes off.
Well, first I want to give a shout out to the crew. PHS crew. Shout out to Clifford Clark, aka CC, Scar Guy, number one producer in the world, G-Van and CC. Together we make the craziest shit, the cosmic sound.
And that's without a doubt.
Then it goes to TQ. TQ's the craziest engineer. His fingers takes the music to a different level. And Sheldon is our video editor. Does all the video editing, all the media stuff. We got Jordan here, who does all the social media marketing, Twitter. Right?
I do my part. I try.
Shout out to Mag T. Shout out to my number one artist, Oli, O-L-I, you know, every day. Look out for Holy Shit 2012. New mixtape album. It's going to be dope. TQ's mixing it right now.
This is actually something that I want to get touch on with Holy Shit. A lot of people have been asking me when, since they can now get Sex and Weed on iTunes, download that, when will they be able to get an Holy album on iTunes? People want to know.
I would say for sure by June 21st.
So by June 21st.
Just in time for the high school kids, college kids. Or no, college kids finish earlier than that.
Yeah.
But high school kids, they'll be able to get Holy Shit. And I know they're going to love Holy Shit. Definitely. When Sex and Weed, you can get it on iTunes. G-Vine, Sex and Weed.
That was also featured on Much Music's The LA Complex.
Yeah.
And this was a big, big, big deal for you, because to get on Much Music, it's just been a pain in the ass for the studio. I know getting the videos up over there isn't the easiest thing in the world.
The thing is, you know, you gotta have different ammunition. You go to war, you can't just bring grenades. You gotta have
an arsenal with you.
You can go in through the back, you go through the front, or you throw up the rope, you can go in anywhere. And that's the key, right? You gotta arm yourself so that when you get shot down from one end, you go through the next.
So did you feel that this was a defining point in your career? One of the many?
For having a song on Much Music?
Yeah, well, not Much Music, but that's an American-made TV show, so getting even into the American music market through that.
I mean, it's something that we've always dreamed of, like all of us.
Oh, God.
We've always dreamed of it. So it's, I mean, it's a big deal to all of us, but, you know, the amount of hours and years that we've put in, like...
You can't get a swole head.
No, man, because we got so much other stuff to do. So that's just one thing. Let's move to the next. You know, you just gotta build a resume and show the people what we got.
So the next little thing here is that I was watching one of my favorite shows on MTV, Jersey Shore. Shout out to all the Jersey Shore kids out there.
Jersey Shore!
They're coming out with their sixth season soon. That's a good thing. Maybe we'll get a next track featured on that. But I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden I hear one of my favorite reggae slash... I don't know, how would you define Yoza's style?
Yoza.
That's how it's pronounced? Yoza? I've been pronouncing it wrong.
Melodic Yoza.
I call him melodic, that's why.
Yoza.
Yowza, what up? Holla at your boy.
Oh yeah, that dude, he's got so much energy, man. That Yowza, melodic Yowza, big up yourself. Look out for Mary Jane coming this summer,
yes,
2012.
Yes, that's his next Yowza, big track, Mary Jane.
And we're working on a new single, too. I can't remember the name of that one, but look out for Yowza. That dude has got so much energy, man. And, you know, when he's in the studio, you can't be sleeping.
No,
you know, he keeps you hype, keeps you up, keeps you moving. So shout out to Yowza.
He's always doing work. Yeah, he hits up my Facebook feed at least 10 times a day with his street team.
Yeah,
street team is always hitting up the Facebook. So how'd you feel when his track was featured on Jersey Shore?
I felt real good. You know, I think he needed that to boost his confidence.
That's a big that's a big thing. Getting anything featured on MTV period is amazing. But that was MTV America, so that was even huger than what a lot of us think it is. It's a real big honor. Even though the show isn't the greatest honor to the Italian people, because I'm Italian, but we won't go there. So, what can you tell me about Yowza and potentially any plans for him in the near future? Just with Mary
Jane?
Well,
he's working on an album right now. I'm trying to remember the name of it. Can't remember the name right now. But he's about to drop his first album. And look up for it, Melodic Yowza.
So, is there any female artists here at PHS that we can touch on?
Yeah, we're working with two young ladies at the moment. There's more.
There's one who's blown up in a little bit of a way. I know you guys did a little bit of work with Fahari.
Fahari, yeah. Managed by Sugar Eye Entertainment. Yeah, we did Dance the Night Away for Ferrari. Me and CC produced that. That did well on the internet, on the hits and stuff. She's now moved on and doing other stuff with other producers, but she comes back here, gets her mixing done, and, you know, little edits here and there.
Nobody can beat TQ's mixing.
Shout out to Ferrari. That's for sure, man.
All right.
Fire Lion.
So let's talk about these two young female artists
we got. Dia.
Dia.
Lucianto.
She Dia. Is a
What's
cutie.
Up, Dia? We just finished her EP. Yeah, it was consists of five tracks.
Yeah, she just launched her website today, too, I believe, on her Facebook. So check out her Facebook for all her fans.
We got Mandy Bow. We're working with her. She's a pop artist. And actress.
But that's it.
Shout out to La Santa. La Santa is in university right now in Windsor. When you get back, La Santa will be on the same music page as we always do. Shout out to Lady Red, First Lady of PHS, wherever you are or whenever you see this. Who else, guys? Shout out to Cammy Kaz. Yeah, man.
There's so many shout outs. We can go on all day doing shout outs, but we can't get off topic. So, if I were to take your iPhone, iPod, and go through your list, which would be the most played song ever?
On my iPod?
Yeah. Oldies, new stuff?
No, I don't. Not only shit. I don't have any tracks on the iPod right now. Of Oli. I do have that Dia track, Not For Always. You can check that out on iTunes. Dia, D-I-I-A, Not For Always, reggae track, produced by G-Man and CC. You know, we do all different style of music. But my go-to track, Always Sex and Weed.
Always.
I mean, I can never get tired of that song. Matter of fact, I've had that song sitting in the hard drive for a while, and TQ said to me one day, let's finish it, let's put it up, and see what happened. So, Sex and Weed will be my go-to song.
And I heard that you want to do a dubstep mix to that song.
Absolutely.
Yeah?
I got Jesse Effects working on that.
Yeah.
Shout out to Jesse.
That would be sick. Yeah. Like, even if somebody like, God bless, like Skrillex grabs that track and just throws it together somehow.
Well, hey, if you can get a hold of any one of those guys, I'll give you the acapella and the tempo. You can shoot it to them or let them know. Let them listen to it if they like it.
It's just...
Because you never know, right?
Yeah.
They get a hold of it, they put something on it, and it just get bigger and bigger.
So
so that would be a good thing to do.
Now we're going to get around to the founding of PHS. And that question starts with, how did you first start PHS?
PHS. Well, I first met TQ through a friend that I used to work with at the same tower by the name of Mira. And we started a company by the name of Harbor Sharks. And pretty much Harbor Sharks was, you know, computer accessories. You know, hard drive, CDs, DVDs.
Back when those things were, like, popular.
Exactly. And, you know, my partner Mira knows that I love music. And, you know, I'm always doing music whenever I can. Not as consistent as I'm doing it now. But he said to me one day, let me introduce you to a friend of mine. He drove me up to Scarborough, introduced me to TQ, fell in love with the guy. He was an amazing guy. We actually stayed at his house, did the song, came back the next day, did the next song. Loved his vibe so much. Invited him to my house. He came over to my house. He saw my setup. He ripped it apart and set it up how he felt that it should be set up, because obviously he's an engineer. The man is amazing. TQ is amazing. So then when he did that, I was like, yeah, man, I think this guy's cool. I think we can do some great things together.
Yeah.
And went back to his house, did a few more songs, and I said to him, hey, listen, let's start a studio. You know what I mean? And I think the next year I met Alton. Alton was a bass player, Alton Sutherland. And then I met him at La McQuaid, actually. We walked into La McQuaid and was looking at some equipment.
Also, shout out to Carlo, district manager at La McQuaid. Hook us up.
Yeah. So anyway, me and Alton, me and TQ walked into La McQuaid, heard some guy playing the bass, which you know it was Alton, introduced myself. I'm like, hey, how you doing? We just started a studio down the street. Come down, check it out. So he came down, check it out. He really loved it so much. Then he's like, hey, I know some other players. Then Alton brought over CeCe, Clifford Clark. And ever since, it's been me, TQ, and Clifford. And that's it. That's the three core right there. You know, we stuck together, made music together every day, took care of each other. you know what I mean, for 10 years, and we're still together. And I hope we'll be together for the rest of our life.
You know? Up a few stragglers along the way. Me. Holy.
Oh, yeah. What do you know?
What is the main vision of PHS? What is PHS all about?
PHS stands for Paradox Barbershop. You know, in Jamaica, we got a familiar term. In Jamaica, we got a familiar term by the name of harbor sharks. And a harbor shark is a person who's hungry. Hungry for success, passionate. It's just a term that we use, harbor shark, when somebody's passionate for something. And then when I met TQ, his name for his sound was Paradox. So that's how we put it together, and we got Paradox Harbor Sharks. And pretty much, we're just people that love what we do and passionate and stay true and believe what we do is the best. And that's how we continue to do it.
So, how do you feel you guys have evolved over the past couple of years?
Oh, so much, man. You know, when I first got into this, you know, in the first year or two, I felt like I know everything about music. And the more you get deeper, you get into it.
The more you realize you don't.
The more you realize you don't.
I found that out real quick.
Somebody calling me.
It might be an oldie trying to call, because I know he wanted to call in to the show. Because he wanted to christen the first. We have a number of viewers. We did have one. But a lot of the people will end up going to and watching the recording of this because it's so late.
You still can record it. You still can watch it.
It goes exactly into an archive where people can watch it. I'm not going to ever take it down. But what I will do is I'm going to dub the video and also put it up on Vimeo. So those with Apple TV, shout out to Apple TV, hook me up, can access it on Vimeo. And G-Vine is the revolution. Keep it cosmic.
Oh, yeah, baby. Keep it cosmic. Keep it going. Keep it moving. Keep it flat. Flow.
All right.
Sailing.
Now we're going to be touching on a touchy subject. And I feel that this is a troubling incident. So I'm sure you've already heard the big news story on Trayvon Martin. And for those of you who don't, he was a 17-year-old African-American boy who was shot dead by a neighborhood watch person who pursued him. From the coverage in the media so far, what are your thoughts and opinions of this case, if any?
I think they're blown out of proportion. The media gotten all of it, spreading the propaganda, all of that kind of stuff.
I think there's going to be a race war.
I didn't think about no race war, man. Like, you know, if you believe that, then it will be. I don't believe in no race war. We're all one race.
We're all
just color, man. Now, what is color? Come on.
Color is melatonin, that's it.
Color is beautiful. I don't believe in no race war and race this and race that. If you don't believe in something, then you're free from it. Once you buy into it and you believe into it, then you become attached to it, then you become convulge into it. Like, fuck that, man. Yeah, I never grew up with my parents saying, you know, that white guy, you know, that black guy, that Indian. No, man. No. It was never like that. So, you know, all that stuff is taught. You know what I mean? My parents never taught me that, to not like somebody because of their color. That's just crap to me.
I don't think parents should teach their kids to hate anything, let alone just one specific
race. I believe in love, man. You know, we're all one race. I don't care what color you are, man. You know, you cut me, we bleed, we die, we go into the earth. That's it. You know, now we ain't going nowhere. What we should do is come together like one big family and have a party. Can you imagine how much things that we can learn from each other if we didn't have this?
This maybe race thing in our mind. Actually be able to dance better.
Yeah, man. You know what I mean? And that's the problem, you know what I mean? We all come from different places in the world.
Oh, yeah.
We all eat different food and raised differently. But it's good when you can learn about different culture because it makes you better, you know, because it's just, that's just how it is, man. We gotta grow and become better human beings. You know what I mean? Forget about this color thing because it's not taking us anywhere, but down.
All right.
I like to fly, man.
One more kind of a politically thing. Today, Rob Ford announced a cleanup Toronto bill, stating that he hopes to get rid of all graffiti in Toronto. Do you feel that this is an important issue that needs to be taken care of in TDOT, or is it just something that will suppress artists and irrelevant to other important issues like the massive debt that Toronto has?
Well, first of all, I think the graffiti is there as like sentimental. It's been there for years.
There's a difference between graffiti and tagging, is there not?
Yeah.
First of all, the tagging is a gang territorial thing.
Yeah. I mean, graffiti is when somebody spends their time to design the art.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm into that stuff. But if a gang is going to tag, put your name in, I'm not into that stuff.
No, that's not what we're for.
That's
we're for
destroying, property and, vandalism. I'm not into that stuff. But if somebody's going to spend their time and design something nice, compliment.
That makes something look good. They may have tagged your spot, but if it makes your spot look better than your spot did before, I don't think you have anything to complain about. Because if anything, that tag is now going to get you business.
I think what would be cool if they donate like an abandoned building or something and they have like graffiti wars.
That
would be amazing
building.
If we had like a show or something like that.
You're putting it out there,
somebody's gonna steal it.
Excuse me.
I don't care. You can steal it. I got many ideas. Graffiti war. Where all graffiti artists come together to compete to see who's the best graffiti artist. Yay. You never know.
All right. Why do you feel historically there has been so much controversy over the usage of marijuana, whereas the damaging effects of alcohol are far worse, yet it's a billion-dollar industry?
Well,
I threw this one in there because I'm a marijuana lover and I'm a legal marijuana user in Canada. I have my card.
I don't have a card.
Hook them up, Canada. Come on.
A card. Oh, yeah. Face it, man. Everybody loves marijuana. Everybody. Everybody. But only the people that's passionate and use it, not for recreational purposes, but use it to meditate, to think, to relax, talk about these things. Every now and then I'll take a toque, a hoot, or there, when I'm creating my music. It just gives you that vibe, that relaxed mode, just puts you in the zone. So, the government is making a lot of money on it, because now
the government's not making any money off of my situation. My situation is different. I go to what is a dispensary. They do not get any whatever that place makes goes into that specific place. The government gets nothing. But if the government were to legalize it where you could just go to just your average everyday doctor and get a prescription for it and legalize it, it is well over worth $1 billion, because the reason why they don't want to legalize weed is hemp is illegal to grow in the United States for one reason and for one reason only. One man told a bunch of mean stories because he didn't want to replace his paper mill. He had a paper mill and they were going to switch to hemp paper, and he put out all these fake stories about And that's where Reefer Madness, that movie, comes from. Yeah, all those crazy stories come all into play in Reefer Madness. And it's kind of funny because a lot of people have just taken those stereotypes and just run with them for like the past 60, 70, 80 years, however fucking long it's been. But then nobody's willing to move on to the next argument, because the fact is, you can have 100,000 deaths with alcohol and 400,000 with smoking and vice versa. But if you're not doing enough to put education into this one thing that could possibly make things a better place, is, and there's churches that worship marijuana as their sacrament, as like Rastafarians, that's their sacrament.
Well, I mean, it's all about control, you know. At the end of the day, government wants to control you. Want to control the marijuana? You know, it's, man. You know,
at least if they controlled the marijuana, we wouldn't be in the financial straits that we're in right now.
Well, you never know. Maybe we'll be in a different financial strain, you know.
No, yeah, that's true. They probably would have fucked up somewhere, something.
It's crazy.
All right. Other than your love for music, what's the other hidden talent you have?
I love my food, I gotta say. You know, I love my stomach, man. And, you know, that's... You gotta treat your body good. You gotta eat good food. You gotta be strong. You know what I mean? No woman don't want a weak man, you know? A woman want a strong man that can cook for her and, you know, take care of her. And that's that. I love my food, you know? I've been doing it now for 22, 23 years. I've been chefing for it.
That's gonna be the first question I was gonna ask you, is when did you first start cooking, and when did you realize you wanted to become a chef?
I started cooking... What was it? 1986.
That's the year I was born. So that's 26 years, people. 26 years. That's a long time to be cooking meals.
Since I was 10.
Damn.
I'm kidding. learning how to cook from back home.
And that's what it was?
Jamaica. Home. I mean, when you grew up in as a youth, they would say in Jamaica. They call kids youth. You know, you grew up as a youth in Jamaica. You have to learn things at an early age. Learn responsibility, man. Like, it's not like here where the school bus picks you up and drops you off at school. No, Jamaica's different. You got to walk 10 miles to school. You know what I mean? And when you get to school, your armpits sweating and everything. And so you learn the hard way in Jamaica. And that's what I brought here in Canada. The hardness, the toughness, the, you know, resilience. Just keep going, moving, and, you know, doing what you love. Right?
Ah, I love your food, man. So, you got me. But I got a question here for you from one of our fans. That is there any celebrity chef that you admire? If so, what is it that they do on their show that makes them someone to look up at?
No, I can't say there's a chef out there somebody that I look up at, no.
Not even Gordon Ramsay.
Not even Gordon Ramsay. Everybody's got their own style, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Gordon Ramsay could cook. You can do his thing. I can do my thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's with Gordon Ramsay, you know, it's the marketing and the promotion that really got him.
That's a,
he's got a really good team pushing him and, you know, marketing him. So the same thing that happens for him could happen for me. But it's where your heart is. My heart is in music right now because that's my number one passion, and food second, right?
So, where do you find your inspiration for your cuisine?
My inspiration.
Tonight, what did we eat tonight?
We had rasta pasta. We had jerk chicken with some garlic, lima beans, roasted peppers, right, with a little bit of white wine, with some penne and jerk chicken. I call it Rasta Pasta. That's what we had today. Something different. And every Wednesday here at PHS, we have a thing called FFM, Food, Friends, and Music.
Which is our networking and our social events that we hold here either once a week or twice a month, whichever how our schedules work out. Mm-hmm. That's how we've been doing it lately. But it's something where we invite any local artists in Toronto to come out and network with other people in the industry. Because you may recognize somebody that you worked with 10 years ago and realize, hey, we were supposed to do a song and we never got around to doing it. Like what happened with C+ and you. And I went and got a haircut, and the guy that was in front of me happened, we struck up a conversation, and it turns out he knows G-Vine, and I call up G-Vine and ask him about this guy, and they reconnect, and they're best friends again. And I find this hilarious, because they would have never, ever gotten a chance to reconnect, because he was ready to leave the city. He couldn't find a place where he could set up shop and do his thing that he wanted to do. And now it's just, he's in here, as you were telling me today, he's in here like 3 times a week. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Like, I like hearing things like that. It makes me feel good.
Oh, yeah.
Because it shows you that putting some positive energy out there brings a little bit of positivity back towards you. Because had you two not met, who knows what's going to come of this. This could be the next big step on.
There's a thing about relationship and building it with good, solid people and having the instinct to know good, solid people. Because sometimes people harbor people around them, but you really don't know what kind of people that is until something goes wrong.
Oh, yeah.
So you gotta have good intuition, you know, good vibes, you know what I mean? You gotta know yourself in order to feel somebody else and know if that person is good for you or bad for you. So I've always felt C+'s vibe, you know. We always vibe when we get together. So it's just a matter of time, and the time is now that we reconnect. And we're making beautiful music, and look out for a C+ track coming up soon.
And there you go. Always C+ fans. And we are up to 2 years. This is the first episode.
What up?
This is our very first episode ever. So we thank you, 2 viewers, for joining us. And let's move on to the next question here. What's your favorite dish, personally?
Food?
Yeah.
My favorite dish is food. That's a tough one, man.
You can't narrow it down to anything specific? Is it going to be something
from home? Very simple. My number one dish, it has to be a Jamaican dish, obviously. You know, I'm Jamaican, so you know, I'm not going to say burger and fries or anything like that, or McDonald's. Hell no. Rest I'm gonna eat McDonald's. Anyways, my favorite food. You know, I gotta say I love my traditional Jamaican ake saltfish and dumpling with some banana and some plantain. I'm not talking boiled plantain. That's what I'm talking about. You know, it's a real cooked food, man. The real Jamaican cooked food. That shit. You know, when you eat that, you know you're good for at least 8 hours. You know, you eat McDonald's, man, in 2-3 hours, you shit that out. You know, that just ain't good. So, you eat the real yard food, like we would say in Jamaica, yard food. That means that holds you, man. That makes you strong. You know, gives you a lot of energy. So, my favorite food is some ake saltfish and dumpling and banana and boiled plantain. And I say it in the Jamaican way.
I love when you do that.
You love when we do that. Oh, yeah, man.
What's Would you ever consider opening up a multi-cuisine restaurant one day?
Oh, for sure, man.
You want to be a restaurant one day?
That's my dream. Yeah. I've had that dream for years.
You're going to have a restaurant where you could dine and perform at the same time?
I want to merge where you could eat and then record. Eat and record.
I mean, we just went to Stage West, me and Bella. And honestly, that was an awesome experience because that's you're eating while they're performing a full-out play.
I mean, people have had that. You know, I want to make it a little different.
You have to, but the thing is that with that is it's a buffet, and then they close the buffet down right before the show starts. So you don't get no more food. You don't get no more food until, I think it was intermission. And then they gave some shit. They gave a chance for some coffee and some cookies or some shit. That was it. But nobody's combined the two where it's like literally art and food.
Yes, music and food.
All right, we're running low on questions here. And what is a simple meal yet filling to cook for someone like me that can't? I can't cook for the life of me. So what's something
filling?
And filling that I could do with a lot of experience in the kitchen.
You like pierogies?
Oh, of course.
Pierogies. A little bit of olive oil, you say something. I'm just picking right from, I can give you many things.
Okay, let's run through top five list of
give you pierogies with some green onions and some garlic and some bacon. Right?
I'm already
and
hungry.
Eat that with some sour cream and some mixed cheese. You could have a nice California sandwich with roasted chicken.
What's the California sandwich?
California sandwich. Roasted chicken with tomato, avocado, and cheese, and cheddar.
That sounds nice. Good.
And a nice baguette. You could have a nice roast turkey sandwich on a multigrain bread with lettuce, tomato, roasted turkey.
All right. Since we're getting into like the
so much different food
ingredients, do you find that there's a difference between organic and non-organic?
Yeah, the taste.
Yeah, and what do you think about them not being able? Somebody tried to get them to start labeling GMO products,
but
the government denied the bill.
Reason why they denied because these.
GMO crops. Are,
yeah, they have certain things that they spray on it.
Well, no, that's the thing is that they don't have to spray it on it. It's they're what we're talking about, people, here is the Roundup Ready seeds. They have Roundup Ready corn, and what it is it's genetically modified to grow the pesticide inside the plant. Therefore, if the plant is eaten by the pest dies. That's so it's therefore when you and I go and bite into that corn from the store, the Dole or whatever the brand names are, the ones that are Monsanto seed farms, we're biting into pesticides and shit.
Yeah, that's not right.
They should. I think that should be the number one thing. Is that you should be able to label if your products are genetically modified
absolutely. Because people want to know what they're eating.
Yeah, and if people want non-hybrid foods.
Yeah.
That's what they want. Is people want people to stop. Like, I always point back to the episode of The Simpsons when they crossbred the tomato and tobacco, and they got Tomaco, and the whole town goes crazy eating these tomatoes, and they start giving them to like little kids and shit. And the whole town is willing to kill over these red tomaco plant, and it looks like a tomato. It's been genetically modified.
Modified.
So it's got all the nicotine in it that a pack of cigarettes would, but it tastes like a tomato. Think of some shit like that. That's real now.
Yeah, yeah. That's happening for real in the world.
Yeah.
You know, scientists are doing some crazy stuff, and you know.
Well, what do you think about that video I posted on my Facebook the other day, where they had the Pentagon It was a project of the Pentagon where they are going to dispel the God gene. And that is, when there's going to be a revolution, they are going to release this virus into the natural population. And what it does is it attacks the frontal lobe and pretty much turns you into a fucking zombie. And then this is from 2005.
Alex Jones?
I looked up the video. I posted it on my Facebook. This video is from 2005. So if this video is from 05, I can pull it up on YouTube right now, and we can watch it for the guests. Like, it's some of the craziest nonsense that you could possibly think of, because these people are really endangering our lives now. Now when you're willing to
they want to do. They want to reduce the population to 1.5 billion.
Whoa, they want it actually lower than that. They want it down to at least 500 million to where it's controllable. Controllable. Yeah. They need it controllable. Because another podcast that's on your stream, the Joe Rogan Experience, he always compares humans to that piece of mold on bread.
Yeah,
that takes over and turns the whole piece of bread into mold.
Mm-hmm.
That's what human beings are. Because if you fly over a city
to the Earth,
if you fly into Toronto and you see all the forest and shit of like Northern Ontario, and you see all the green, and then you see Toronto, and it's just this growth. It's this cancer. That's what we are. We're this cancer to the earth. And that's what they believe is this nonsense. Like, they can destroy certain people because of certain cases of, say, somebody develops a mutation. They're not going to want people to realize that's what it's called. It's good. Look it up at home. It's called Pentagon Briefing on Removing the God Gene.
The God Gene.
Do you have the volume for this?
Individuals who are religious fundamentalists, religious fanatics. And this is the expression, RT-PCR, real-time PCR expression of the VMAT2 gene. Over here, we have individuals. So let me complete. So over here, we have individuals who are not particularly fundamentalist, not particularly religious, and you can see there's a much reduced expression of this particular gene, the VMAT2 gene. Another evidence that supports our hypothesis for the development of this approach.
By spreading this virus, we're going to eliminate individuals from going on a bomb test and going into a market and blowing up the market.
So our hypothesis is that these are fanatical people, that they have overexpression of the VMAT2 gene, and that by vaccinating them against this, will eliminate this behavior. So we have some very, very remarkable data in this next slide. Here we have two brain scans. These are fMRIs. These are two different individuals with different levels of expression of VMAT2. On top is an individual who's a religious fanatic and individual, and we've repeated this numerous times, that has high levels of VMAT2. Now, this individual down here, who had low levels of the VMAT2 gene, this individual would self-describe as not particularly religious. In each case, these individuals were read a religious text. This individual lit up the right middle frontal gyrus. shown here.
That just means he believes in God.
It's associated with theory of mind.
Who the fuck did they know?
It's a part of the brain that
because they've mapped the brain. What lights up when people
desires?
They've
shown
them in an MRI machine and show them images of Jesus or what they think is God.
Self-described.
So what they're saying is that this virus can turn this gene off.
What you see is that this part of the brain called the anterior insula lights up. This is a part of the brain
into a church
with,
and blowing
with
a church
disgust
up.
Or displeasure.
They can stop somebody from doing that by releasing this virus into the natural atmosphere.
But if people smell it, how do you?
So the data that I'm
could be like
presenting here supports.
And then you get it.
The
and then he gets it just because
proposing.
You wiped your head
and
then
I think that,
wrote something on the computer and he signed into you.
So what are they briefing? What are they briefing?
FMRIs on individuals.
This is some of that released
the
video.
Afghanistan.
So, yeah.
The virus
this is
would immunize against this VMAT.
Pentagon room,
and that
basement,
would have the effect that you see
somebody recorded
which
is,
it.
This is from the Department of Defense.
That's
a
remote. Saying somebody released it.
And we think that
by accident?
No, they leaked it. On purpose. On purpose they released that. Just so that they can know. Just so they know that shit's for real. What do you think about something like that?
That's crazy. That's to show you that the world is more corrupt. People are more corrupt. And once again, control. You know, they want to be in control of us. Me, you know. And they're using our money to do that.
Yeah, that's all funded by taxpayer money. Like,
so when you put the money in the bank and you think the bank is making money for you, your money's been used to do something destructive to the world. That's why this whole money thing is just beyond me. You know what I mean? I wish that we could live without money.
Well, what do you think about this then? I'm not sure if you've ever seen or taken part in this, but this is Canada's federal debt. And the big number you see is what Canada federally owns. That's everybody, the entire country, even the newborns. And the number on the bottom is what each of us would have to pay in order to pay off our national debt. So, and that's like you're talking about the newborn babies that were born today and the old people that died today. Take everybody in Canada and pay $16,000.
Is that literally going up?
Yeah. You think this is bad?
Is that accurate, though?
Yeah. That's accurate. Extremely accurate. And what's even crazier is the U.S. one. Because here, this one might take a while to load up because there's a lot of... Okay, not on this internet. This is what their national debt is. Their national debt is $15,620,716,100,000.
15 trillion.
15 trillion is what they're in the red. All right? That's in the red. All right? But then you have total personal debt. That's personal debt. Me, you, her, him, her, what we all have combined together. Is at almost at $16 trillion, plus the mortgage debt is at $13 trillion, student loan debt is at $869 trillion, credit card debt is at $791 trillion, which equals
$791 trillion.
Yes, which equals $51,000.68 per city. Or like personal debt. It's crazy. But then you have what?
What's the total debt?
Well, they have these things that are called unfunded liabilities. And let me find where those actually are. Where's the unfunded liabilities? Okay, yeah, see, U.S. unfunded liabilities. That's 118 quadrillion, 308 trillion. Oh no, I read that wrong. 118 billion, 308 billion, 84 million, and six, and growing. So
it looks like 118 trillion, 308 billion.
Yes. Now, this is
85 million.
Every single person in the United States would have to pay $1,044,107.
To clear it up.
To clear it up. That will never happen. Who's going to fucking pay for this?
Who's this money owed to?
This is money that's owed to Visa, owed to MasterCard, owed to your mortgage company, or...
So who gets this money, though?
Nobody. This is an unfunded liability. It's all the frauds that get committed, like insurance fraud. That's an unfunded liability because nobody's going to pay for that.
Yeah.
That's an unfunded liability. So that's how much of that is in the system. And then on top of that, you have what people are actually adding to it that are trying to pay their shit off. I believe the only number that's going up is, or the only number going down is the corporate tax. And actually that goes up and down. I'm pretty sure it fluctuates. It's ridiculous. I just wanted to end the podcast off on that. Because I wanted to find out what you thought of some shit like that.
That's some crazy. Hopefully the next podcast that we have, we'll definitely touch base on the U.S. national debt and the Canadian national debt.
Yes, we will look into
more about this. Finance and what you should do with your money. Should you take your money from the bank? Or,
that's actually something that you should really look into doing, and taking all your cash and whatever you have in bonds and start transferring it to gold and silver. We're not sponsored by any like gold, silver companies or anything like that, but I've done it myself, and in 2 years I've took $900 and turned it into $1,700.
In gold. Yeah, because gold is going up, silver is going up, and I believe that everything is going to go back to gold and silver when this whole big thing blows up. So if you have gold or silver, you'd be rich.
And non-hybrid seeds.
Matter of fact, did you hear about the big deal with Iran and India?
No.
Oil for gold.
I believe it.
India is giving Iran gold. Iran is giving India oil. Oil for gold. Amen.
They gotta pay for it somehow, right? India needs the oil because
they're growing. A phenomenal rate.
Well, actually, we'll end it on this funny note. Did you hear about the traffic jam in China?
No.
Lasted 2 fucking weeks. A traffic jam.
You're kidding me.
One spot, your car, 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
You heard that?
Yes.
That was a true story.
That's a true story.
Can you find that in the next batch?
They actually developed a mini economy. People came out and were selling people clothes, food, saying, here, you can use my bathroom at this house for so much money. An entire fucking mini economy.
You have video on that?
I don't have any video of it personally, but it was brought up on another podcast, and when I heard that, you can't buy any more. And they're trying to sell more cars today.
2 weeks traffic jam.
2 week traffic jam.
Where in China?
It was some...
Shanghai?
It was some major district where everybody was trying to come in at the same time and just 2 weeks. What'd you do?
No, I didn't hear about that one.
What would you do for those 2 weeks?
Those 2 weeks?
Would you go through every song on your iPod?
Oh.
She said she'd shoot herself.
Wow.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
All right, everybody. This is us signing off for our first episode of Real Talk and T-Dot. So we'll get at you tomorrow with Oli, O-L-I, Demon Swag. Hit him up on YouTube. He needs those hits. And follow him at Oli Music. Follow G-Vine at G-Vine Music. And you can always follow me at Jordan underscore Real Talk. That's at Jordan underscore Real Talk. Peace out, everybody.
Peace out, everybody.
Stop broadcast.